Greetings to each one in Jesus' name. It's good to have all the visitors here and Bible school students. Hope this week can be another stepping stone in your life. When I was 16, I gave my heart to the Lord, and that was a very wonderful and emotional experience from the get-go. My life was so drastically changed from carrying a heavy burden of guilt and sin to being set free, and I just remember longing to wake up in the morning just to read my Bible to see what I could glean from it. And I was so filled with the joy of the Lord, and it was so amazing to walk with the Lord. I remember one Wednesday night in our prayer group, we were going around the circle sharing, and the one brother shared something about how life is pretty rough, and he was a bit discouraged. And I was just sitting there thinking, like, how could a child of God be discouraged? And it just didn't make sense to me. And so it came to my turn to share, and with all good intentions, I was just like, yeah, I just don't think we should ever be discouraged as Christians. And would to God that would be so. And I can't say that I have never been discouraged. This morning I would like to talk a little bit about our emotions. In the Bible, emotions are not amoral. We are actually responsible for how we feel. And we are expected to exercise self-control and have certain emotions. I would like to think about how our emotions are the indicators of what we value and what we believe. They're not simply impulses that just rise within us at any given moment. We could say that emotions are more than just our feelings. They tell us what we value and what we believe, producing desires and inclinations that affect our behavior. To set a foundation, we would like to look at God's character in the Bible. There are many views of God that are right and wrong, and of course we will never fully understand God's character here on this earth, and maybe not even in eternity. I hope so. You may view God as being someone who is stoic or impassible, but I would beg to differ. My title this morning is Emotions from an Emotional God. When we talk about God's emotions, we must qualify that statement. As Brian Borgman put it in Faith and Feelings, he says, quote, "The real danger is to impose our emotional experiences on God and thus be guilty of the indictment of Psalms 50:21. You thought that I was one like yourself." We must keep in mind that God's emotional capacities are both invulnerable and perfect. His emotions are not dependent on anything outside of himself. Although he responds to and is moved by human events, he is never emotionally vulnerable, never surprised by an event or overcome with emotion. His feelings are not subject to sinfulness. Since he is holy, his emotions are perfectly righteous in their essence and exhibition. Or said simply, God's nature causes him to always have right and holy and perfect emotions. And the exciting thing is, we are made in God's image, as it tells us in Genesis. I believe that means that we can embody the capacity to love, hate, joy over, and rejoice just the way God does. And that is a lifelong experience and possibly one that will take all of eternity. So I'd like just to look at a few references in the Bible of how God expresses his emotions. First one is God delights in his son. If you look in Isaiah 42 verse 1, it says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth." And that word delighteth means to be pleased with. God is pleased with his son. You can see God's emotions there. God rejoices in us. If you turn to Isaiah 62, verse 5, it says, "For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. As the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee." Those are very strong emotions, and that is the emotions God has towards us. It also talks in Zephaniah about how God exalts over us with loud singing. God also grieves and experiences pain. If we turn back to Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6. Genesis 6, 5 and 6, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and grieved him at his heart." There are numerous places God expresses his anger, but God is also very compassionate and loving. The scripture there is Jeremiah 31:3. It says, Jeremiah 31:3, The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." And we, if we are a child of God, we have all experienced God's compassion and love in our hearts and lives. Jesus, we can see Jesus expressing his emotions when he was here on this earth a lot. There's a common phrase about how Jesus was moved with compassion or pity on the people. He was moved with compassion when he saw the great multitude of people that came out to see him, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Through compassion, he opened the eyes of the blind, he cleansed the lepers, and raised the dead, and wept with the bereaved, all out of his love and compassion for mankind. And it hurt Jesus to condemn the hard-hearted folks in Jerusalem when he prophesied the destruction of it, because Jesus' prime characteristic was love, and love is the foundation of compassion. So these emotions of God and Jesus tell us what their true values are. That is the very nature of God. And as people made in the image of God, we should grow in these emotions that we can see in God and Jesus here on this earth. So we have many emotions in this life, and sometimes it is very difficult to sort through them all. But as we mature in Christ more and more, we have to be grounded in the Word of God to truly have our emotions aligned perfectly. And as a result, we will trust Him more and more. If you turn to Lamentations 3, one of my most favorite chapters in the Old Testament, Lamentations 3, 18 to 24. So before this, If you've ever read Lamentations, just a book full of great lamenting. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled into me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. We obviously all have rough times and emotions, but here in Lamentations, it just says it so beautifully. You recall this to mind, therefore you will have hope. It's because of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Matthew 5, verse 11 says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And what if we just stop there in our lives, like probably too many of us do, and start questioning God about all these problems in our life? And it's at times like these where our emotions will really show us what we believe about God. When we are persecuted and when men revile us and they say all manner of evil against us falsely for his sake. And Satan, as the accuser of the brethren, is looking for these vulnerable times in our lives. And that's when he can start whispering into our ear, like, yeah, maybe God is not loving. Maybe God doesn't care about you or love you. And that's when doubt and anger and fear and worry and unforgiveness start arising in our hearts. And we start asking all the why questions. And personally, I found that too many times I've been led down that road of negative emotions and have been succumbed to them. And then you have to ask yourself, well, do I really believe that God is loving and trustworthy? And there are many ways to cultivate godly emotions, and that's a whole nother subject. But we're called to renew our minds in Romans 12:2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And in Philippians 6, I believe, the phrase that, I guess it was probably my dad that first told me this when I was a new Christian, said, you should think on things that are just, pure, lovely. And I've thought about that often. That is how we renew our minds, by thinking on things that are just, pure, lovely. And another way is singing. That can renew our minds and bring us back to the truth of God's words, and we will have right emotions. In 2 Corinthians 6, where Paul is talking about all his hardships and struggles and shipwrecks and beatings, at the end, he says it so well. He says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. Would to God that we could all be in that place. Bob and his family of seven enjoy a peaceful, contented life in the rolling hills of West Virginia. They would consider themselves well off, but they don't show it. They give him the ass and are in a giving church that supports the widows and provides shelter for the homeless. Bob has his own business where he employs 15 or so employees, of which some he ministers to through a good work environment. And his office door is always open to invite the emotionally struggling employee in. Jack, one of his needy employees, comes from a broken, disoriented family. His parents recently divorced, and all his siblings are at odds with one another, and they're at each other's throats, so to speak. One morning, in a torrent of emotions and troubles, Jack dumps out his whole story. Bob, in a heart of compassion, tells him to trust God and that all things work together for good to them that love God. Jack leaves and turns bitter and resentful with ill intent against his boss. The following week, Jack purposefully backed into the customer's Lamborghini and had also forgotten to anchor the new deck to the house, with which, when the homeowner walked onto it to view the damage done to the car, it collapsed and he broke his leg. To shorten the story, the lawsuit against the company caused him to file bankruptcy and lose all his employees. So Bob was faced with a decision. Was he going to allow the ungodly emotions to rule, or was he going to trust God? What would you have done? 3 days later, while Bob and his wife were in the courtroom, they asked their oldest 17-year-old son to take the children to Grandma's house, only to receive a call later, about an hour later, from the sheriff saying that all of their children were hit by a drunk driver and that none of them are living. And he thinks that the driver's name was Jack, and he wasn't hurt. Through it all, he developed a serious bout of bacterial meningitis, which confined him to his bed. And Bob was faced with the why questions. Was he going to succumb to them? One morning, his wife, in her anger at God of being bereaved of her children, came to Bob and said, "Just bless God and die." The next night, Bob's ministry came over to sit by his side, but only silence ensued. They saw Bob's strong, unwavering faith in God and were amazed. They came a few more times, but silence flowed thicker than words. When words did come, they almost hurt more than they helped. But in all of this, Bob sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. In the following year, relationships were mended, and his health was restored, and they sweetly served in their community. They ended up adopting Andy as their son. This act of love and forgiveness caused Jack's parents to come back together, and their family was restored. And the only way that Bob managed to walk through this is because he actually believed what he was telling Jack about trusting God and that all things work together for good to them that love God. It's in these vulnerable moments in life when our faith and feelings are neck and neck. We should be checking our gauges to see if our ungodly emotions are overtaking us, because what we truly believe will be shown in the emotions of our heart. So let's work on cultivating godly emotions so that we can say, like Paul did, "As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things." And I'll close with 1 Thessalonians 5:23. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen.